Welcome to the Finding Grace in the Wilderness podcast. I'm your host, Sharon Hawkins. Here each week, we will share stories about how God's grace can be found during life's most difficult circumstances. Meet with me around the table as we chat with others who have found that God's faithfulness never ends. We will share truth and life and discuss faith, fears, struggles, and victories. Join us as we seek to grow deeper in relationship with Jesus, the one who makes a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Welcome, friends. I'm glad to have you here for another episode of our podcast. Have you ever had an aha moment? You know, one that really catches your attention and prompts you to action? Legend has it that Isaac Newton had such a moment when he was a young man sitting under an apple tree. Legend says that an apple bonked him on the head, and suddenly he came up with the idea of the law of gravity. This isn't exactly how it happened, but this 17th century aha moment prompted him to look into the matter further. What came from it was Newton's theory of universal gravitation. It states that every particle of matter in the universe attracts every other particle with a force that is directly proportional to the product of their masses and inversely proportional to the square of the distance between their centers. Huh? It might have been a moment of aha for him, but it's sure not a moment of aha for me, because I don't know what in the world that means, other than apples fall out of trees. Another aha moment came for Samuel Morse when he found his wife dead because her letter didn't reach him in time. She was asking him for help. As you probably know, he was the inventor of the Morse code. Brad Pitt was attending the University of Missouri, studying to be a journalist, when he had his aha moment. He knew where he wanted to be and what he wanted to do. 2 weeks before graduation, he left Missouri and headed for Los Angeles, and the rest is history. In 2008, Brian Chesky and Joe Gebbio were struggling to pay their rent. They lived in San Francisco. Desperately, they put their heads together and came up with an idea to rent air mattresses in their living room for people to sleep on to make quick money. It worked. They called it Air Bed and Breakfast. Air Bed and Breakfast. Oh, Airbnb, which is now a $100 million business. Go, guys. Caressa Crosby, way back when, invented the bra after she was unable to fit her bust into a corset. Thanks, Caressa. Now the rest of the women from that moment on have had their busts feel like they were in a corset. Then there's Chip Wilson. He noticed many women doing yoga, but there were no special pants for them to wear. After having that aha moment, he founded Lululemon, and he created the rage called yoga pants. Thanks, Chip. And we women really mean thank you to that one. I've had aha moments in my life, too. One came to me more gradually. One day I was shopping in Crossway, and I found a little card that said, I shall not want. Ironically, I had just bought a new wallet, and when I bought that card, I instantly thought, I'm going to put that in my wallet, right up front in the little photo compartment so I can always see it. That way, I know I won't want for money. You see, I always believed that verse in Psalm 23 meant that the Lord is my shepherd, and as a result, I wouldn't want for anything. Relating to the wallet, I was trying to put some insurance in there that would help ensure that I always had cash. It wasn't long before I found my wallet empty and some financial hard times hit. The aha moment came when I discovered that God didn't always provide my wants, but He always provided my needs. That's a lesson I've never forgotten. I think Jesus' disciples had aha moments, but some came much later than when they were with the Messiah. Andrew recognized Jesus right away as the Messiah, and he told his brother Simon. Andrew was with John the Baptist when he saw Jesus passing by and said, "Look, the Lamb of God." That's from John 1, verse 36. When he and another disciple heard John say this, they followed Jesus. In verse 41, the Bible says the first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We have found the Messiah, that is, the Christ," and he brought him to Jesus. Actually, the disciples' understanding of Jesus' true identity grew over time. It was influenced by his teachings, miracles, and actions. Jesus often spoke in parables, and there were times that the disciples had questions because they didn't quite get it. Jesus had two purposes in sharing the parables. The first was to reveal the truth about him to his disciples and to his followers. The second purpose was to somewhat veil the truth to those Jesus knew who would not believe. When he was all alone with the 12 and the others around him, they would ask him about the parables. In Mark 4:10 through 13, Jesus said, "The secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to those on the outside everything is said in parables, so that they may be ever seeing but never perceiving, and ever hearing but never understanding, otherwise they might turn and be forgiven." Then Jesus said to them, "Don't you understand this parable? How then will you understand any parable?" Jesus wanted the disciples to long to know more about him, so much so that they searched their hearts and clung to his teaching. That's what he wants from me and you. In Jeremiah 29:13, God said, "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." He's right there. Our understanding is not often in our brain. We need to turn toward him, and he will fill our hearts with understanding and love. Jesus had a purpose for everything that he did. He still does. And any work he does in our lives is never wasted. He spoke in parables, and I think it's really neat that he spoke in such a way that those who were open to hearing could really hear and understand. Jesus' parables are thought-provoking, and he was very thoughtful in his approach. These parables are still studied by us today and bring aha moments because of the mystery within them. If we think about it and we read God's Word, he'll speak to us through his Word. It's pretty amazing, I think. Jesus is a master of planting seeds and drawing people in. And he wanted that for the disciples. But the disciples didn't always get it. In Luke 8, beginning in verse 22, the Bible says, "One day he got into a boat with his disciples, and he said to them, 'Let us go across to the other side of the lake.' So they set out, and as they sailed, he fell asleep. And a windstorm came down on the lake, and they were filling with water and were in danger. And they went and woke him, saying, 'Master, Master, we are perishing.' And he awoke and rebuked the wind and the raging waves, and they ceased, and there was a calm. He said to them, 'Where is your faith?' And they were afraid, and they marveled, saying to one another, 'Who then is this, that he commands even winds and water, and they obey him?' They looked at him in awe, but did they really grasp who he was?" Jesus is patient and kind, just as he is with us today. And he helped the disciples in their understanding, kept doing miracles, kept teaching, and they kept learning. While the disciples initially expected Jesus to be a conquering king and establish an earthly kingdom, Jesus' teachings, his actions, including his suffering and death, ultimately led them to understand his kingdom was spiritual and eternal, not earthly. Perhaps one of the most perplexing situations for the disciples came on the final night of Jesus' life. He was talking with his disciples, and in John 16, John records arguably the most confusing yet empowering words that Jesus ever spoke. "Very truly, I tell you, it is for your good that I'm going away. Unless I go away, the advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. I'm sure the disciples were saying, huh? It's for our good that you're going away? How's that? They believed he was coming to save the world. I'm sure it was hard to comprehend. And what about this advocate? I'm sure they were scratching their heads with that one. They probably wondered, was another Jesus coming? It actually sounded like a breakup speech, but it was just the opposite. Through his death, he would give us the ability to talk straight to the Father and pray to him. In John 16:23-24, it says, "Verily I tell you, my Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. Until now you have not asked for anything in my name." Now they walk beside Jesus. When the advocate came, he would live inside them, in their hearts. Big difference. Jesus was so far from being what you would expect as God coming to earth. He stressed humility and love and service for others, not power or conquest. He healed the sick, fed the hungry, and taught the kingdom of God. He talked about a spiritual realm instead of a physical one. Perhaps the first aha moment was the most significant turning point. It was Jesus' suffering and death on the cross. The disciples struggled to understand this, but it ultimately led them to recognize Jesus as a suffering servant that had been prophesied in the scriptures. That had to be an aha moment for them. In John 14:12, Jesus says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these he will do, because I am going to the Father." How could we possibly do greater works than Jesus? It's because of the Holy Spirit, because of the Advocate that lives within us. Through the blood of Jesus, when he was crucified, we became empowered as children of God to carry him to the world. In human form, Jesus was only able to travel a certain area. There was no internet. There was no getting the message around the world. That's what we are for. Certainly, we're not able to do the miracles that Jesus did. We're human, like Jesus, but not God like Jesus. It's an interesting thought that Jesus pointed people to God and shared that he was the Messiah. But only the blood of Jesus saves, and when he was on earth, he had not yet shed it. That's the difference. There is spiritual transformation and salvation that we receive in our hearts and we experience and share with others. That's greater than the physical miracles Jesus performed in winning the hearts of people. Jesus commissioned his followers to go and make disciples of all the nations, teaching them to obey his commands. Matthew 28:19. It was not about conquering the world with force, but about sharing the simple message of salvation through love, our life experience, and through faith. That was the focus of God's ministry to save the world, and it should be ours. Even the newest Christian is called to share what they know, to lead others to Christ. I believe the disciples had many aha moments in truly understanding who Christ is. Surely Jesus' resurrection helped the disciples begin to understand his kingdom. It was spiritual, not physical. Some of his teachings and parables that didn't make sense before, surely they started to make sense at that point. It was definitely an aha moment. Maybe they didn't truly understand what it meant to have an advocate coming, but when the Holy Spirit came and dwelled with them, it was a whole different story. I'm sure there was no questioning when Pentecost came. I'm sure Pentecost, for them, tied it all together. What an aha moment. In Acts 2, the Bible describes Pentecost. The Holy Spirit fell on the apostles. Peter preached and 3,000 were saved. They immediately began discipling the new converts, and the church of Christ began. Aha. That was the plan. I love it when a plan comes together and you can look back and see what God was doing. The truth is, this plan is still going in full force now as God's children are called to reach the world with the saving grace of Jesus Christ. If you haven't had your aha moment and experienced the saving grace of Jesus and accepted Him as your Savior, I pray that you will do that today. It will be just the start of many other aha moments as you find that He makes all things new when we become a child of God. Walking with Him and talking with Him, and the more we know about Him, the more we know that no matter what we face, we can always find His grace in our wilderness. Thank you for listening to this episode of Finding Grace in the Wilderness. May God lead you safely through your wilderness as you trust Him, and may His river of grace always flood your desert times. He is doing a new thing. Let's not miss it. Subscribe or follow to make sure you don't miss a single episode. See you here next time.